Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully.
You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cry and save them.
You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever.
A reading from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Several years ago, the catechism curriculum that I used had a lesson on discerning the movement of the Holy Spirit. One of the questions it suggested was, could this merely be coincidence, or could it be the Holy Spirit? There are times in my life and in my ministry that that question has been a guide for me. As a Lutheran, I am congenitally cautioned against, well, to be careful about making a certain claim one way or the other. There are examples of when people have been pretty certain about their knowing what God was up to through the Holy Spirit, only to get things really wrong. Beware of certainty. Well, beyond certainty that God is revealed as merciful and just, as embodying steadfast love, forgiveness, and grace. Yet last week, as I sat with St. Andrew's new class of sixth graders, the stories and the scripture that we discussed were wonderfully familiar. Indeed, those youth and their parents joined me in hearing video presentations that referenced Paul's assertion that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we heard that last Sunday in Paul's letter to the Romans. And as part of the curriculum, I asked the youth to recount the story of the feeding of 5,000. And here we are, having heard the feeding of the multitude today. One might believe that the pastor planned it that way. Certainly, when originally planning Holy Communion instruction, I purposely set it for the beginning of Holy Week, so that the lessons of the Passover, the Last Supper, Jesus' Passion, are all take center stage in thinking about this sacrament. I have to admit, this timing is much more coincidence. Though it is possible to give a nod to the Holy Spirit that St. Andrew's would consider hosting drive-in Holy Communion practices for this time of COVID-19 on a date that nudged me to offer the class when these scripture readings are current. So is it coincidence? Or might it be the Holy Spirit? What I can tell you is that it is not because the pastor is a master planner. How wonderful that in this time we hear the story of Jesus. You know the rough outline. Jesus is grieved at hearing about the death of John the Baptizer. In his grief, he wants to get away. So he gets into a boat. The people figure out where he is headed and meet him on the other side. Sometimes in the midst of grief and loss, the leader has a responsibility to continue the ministry. So Jesus has compassion for the people and cures them. But the day is turning to evening. The disciples are concerned because there is no food to provide for the great crowd, way more than 5,000 people. They want Jesus to send everybody away to fend for themselves. Jesus has another plan. He asks the disciples what they have, and they reply that they have nothing, well, except for these 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blesses them, and they distribute the food, and there are leftovers, gloriously abundant leftovers, so many leftovers that they can fill 12 baskets. Those 12 baskets help to situate this event right in the middle of the promises of abundance that flow from the Lord feeding the 12 tribes of Israel in the desert. You recall manna from heaven, where everyone gathered what they needed and ate their fill with God, there is enough. Of course, that story of the Israelites helps the hearers remember that the faithful sometimes have a hard time trusting that God comes through. To be sure, all through human history, the reality is that there are difficult times. There are times when abundance is not perceptible. There are times when humanity chooses and legislates and defines the rules in ways that privilege some at the expense of others. All of this is true. And yet, in the desert, the Lord provided. On this evening, when thousands present, when the disciples were struggling to trust, the Lord provided. Modern people want an explanation for how it happened. I hear people say that those who were gathered shared from their own when they saw the food being shared. Others say that Jesus multiplied it in some supernatural way. I wonder if it matters. Could both be true? Could neither be true? What the scripture wants the people of God to hear is that Jesus has compassion for the people. He cures them. He meets them where they are. Even when they track him down, he responds with what is needed. The Lord is steadfast and trustworthy. And sometimes the Lord works through disciples. And today, those disciples are you and me. So far, I have not talked about this event being in the middle. You see, not only does this feeding of thousands, 10,000, 15,000 more, reflect back to manna in the desert and all the ways the Lord has provided through history, this event anticipates the Last Supper, where Jesus gathers with his disciples to remember the Passover and institutes a new Passover. In that Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus institutes what we often call Holy Communion, the Great Thanksgiving, the Eucharist, or even the Lord's Supper. And in that moment, at this holy meal that the faithful gather to share, there is enough for all. I can tell you, as a sacristan at seminary, and as a worship planner for many synod events, I have always been clear that the Lord's Supper, there must be enough for all. The meal is a physical sign of God's abundant love, grace, and forgiveness. It reminds the faithful of God's steadfast presence through the good times and the difficult times. Now, we know that there are those among us within this congregation, within this city, this county, this state, who have needs. It is good that this congregation participates in caring for those with needs. Loaves and fishes, room at the inn, Love Inc., Voluntary Action Center, all the various ministries throughout the year and throughout God's Work Our Hands weekend that this congregation supports. Let our actions, our decisions, our legislation, let all of this open space that responds to the promise to show forth what we see in Jesus, that God is compassionate, that God provides, that God desires all people to have what they need. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, andrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.